You know, I was reflecting about that text we looked at last night about Jesus said, you know, I've come that I may give you life and life in all its fullness. Just as we were worshipping that song, everyone needs a saviour, everyone needs compassion. And it's a nice little story. Whenever I think we read about sheep in the Bible, it all just feels quite nice. But it is such a powerful image, isn't it, that he's reminding them that the thief comes in, not through the gate, he climbs in over the walls and seeks to rob the sheep and to destroy their lives. And I think the world, we know this, but the world is in a really sad place at the moment, and our country is, and I think a lot of young people are as well. And so this idea of living well isn't just a whole heap of nice ideas. They're deeply entrenched kingdom rhythms. Are you right there, Lou? It's like an aeroplane, isn't it? A plastic tray. Very good. We should do it like, do you know, one year they did a Passover meal at Spring Harvest, and they used LL Airlines, the Jewish airline, to produce the Passover meal, and everybody had an airline tray. How good was that? That was, and it wasn't a big top, about 5,000 people, and this little airline tray came out, and we had a little Passover meal. That's fab, isn't it? Anyway, that's an aside, but it's a good thing for a Sunday. We should do that one Sunday, just have airline meals. And depends, some of you, if you tithe a lot, you can have business class airline meal. We can section the church off, can we, John, into sections, and then economy class. Well, economy, you'll have to be under the balcony for that. So anyway, let's move on. But I think the importance of what we're talking about, it is really important. The themes seem quite light on one level, but the church needs to learn to live well so we can hold out the light to the world to help them to live well as well. Because the enemy is robbing people of life, but he's robbing people in the church of life. And we need to rediscover what it is to know life in all its fullness. And in this beautiful Bible we have are these incredible rhythms. And that's what we're going to look at. Ancient paths. So back to Jeremiah, remember he said, you stand at the path, at the crossroads. And he says, you know, will you choose the way that is good for your soul, will bring rest for your soul? I'm going to show you the way. And they say, nah, we're not going to walk in it. And we need to learn to rediscover the ancient past. So that's what we're doing. Now, I'm very good at quickly. We're going to do two things at this point. We're going to do a visual exercise, and then we're going to do a sound exercise, because not everybody can see visually very well, and not everybody can hear very well. So we're going to do the two to give you that opportunity. So our visual one first. What I'm going to do in a second is we're going to put a picture up on the screen. It's going to be on for 3 seconds, and I want you to see what you can see. I'm going to trust you to count the three. Okay, are you all right with that? It's scary, isn't it? It's scary. So we're going to count to three. Well, you're not going to count. Our wonderful visual team are going to count to 1 to 3, and then it's going to come off again. What can you see? Ready? Go.
Stop.
It's all right. You are allowed to speak, Lou. It's all right. We don't do the whole women be silent in church thing in this show. You're all right. You're safe. That bit of the Bible we ripped out. We don't have that. So I am kidding, by the way. So what did you see? A bird, a fox, a tree. So let's put it up for. It's not the easiest. Oh, it's quite big up there, isn't it? Let's have it for 5 seconds. Okay, what did we say? How did we see anything more?
Yeah.
A puzzled fox. Yeah, well done. You started reading the text. Yeah, you were hoping all the answers were going to be there, weren't you? Yeah. No, we were given permission to use this by the puzzled fox. Well, whoever this artist is museum in America, so we've got to say why it's got all that on the side. So let's have it up. Let's just leave it up and take a look and see what you might be able to notice. Take a few moments to look. If I go forward, will the speaker squeal? No. Can people see anything?
Is that a deer at the bottom left?
Yeah, so there's a... yeah, facing the tree. I'm trying to see what I can see. Sorry, I'm in your way. You're right, is it a deer or a sheep or something? It's a sheep, isn't it? Can you see the boar or the hippo or whatever it is? Or the wildebeest. Right in the middle. Any faces? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's the boar. There's the sheep. There's the boar. I don't know whether I've found everything in it, but can everybody see that there are faces in the trees? And yeah, and there's more than one. There's one just there. If you move right to the very end, there's a little girl's face in the tree. Just there, yeah. Yeah, it's clever, isn't it? It's great. I love that picture. We're going to... are you happy to do a bit of music?
Oh, yeah.
So let's do a musical version. We can leave that picture up and you can enjoy it. So we're going to play that... Can you remember that programme, Name That Tune? You remember that? Those of us who are old enough, anybody who can't remember, Name That Tune. Oh. Even you can remember that, Dan, can you? No, Dan's not admitting the fact that he is young and the rest of us in this room are old. So there we go, Name That Tune. Steve's gonna, we're gonna see if anybody can guess it. Should we do it in like, yeah, do it as hard as buddy. Yeah, Jingle Bells, was it?
But do more notes.
Yeah.
Can we have a clue? Like, is it pop, worship? A theme tune.
Pop. Popular.
Puff the Magic Dragon. Sound like Puff the Magic Dragon. Puff the Magic Dragon. There we go, see? Keep going. Oh, Someone Like You by Adele. You gonna sing? Very good. Round of applause for Steve for his musical entertainment.
Puff the Magic Dragon, apparently.
That's where she got it from. I knew it. We're going to watch a quick little video and then we'll get into our content. because that's a film we use in the schools. But it's a really, what we're going to look at this session is this idea of slowing down and living in the moment. When we show young people the Puzzle Fox picture, it's to highlight the longer and the more time you take, the more that you begin to notice. The more we slow down and the more we calm our lives down, the more that we begin to see. Now, apparently, the average person in the world says about 7,000 words a day, touches about 140 objects, focuses their eyes on 50 different objects every second. Isn't the eye an amazing thing? We hear 20 to 30,000 words, and we might think between 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. I don't know how you can keep thinking I'm so beautiful so many times. That's quite amazing. But you know, it's incredible, isn't it, what is happening inside our brains and our bodies and all the different, you know, even senses. I don't know how many different things we smell. I suppose it depends where we are. But the we are living in an incredibly busy and frantic world. And if the one thing you do talk to people about, they will say, is that I am busy. And life is busy. And with that comes stress. And with that becomes, and that raises our anxiety, and all sorts of things begin to happen to us. So the question is just how busy are you? Just how busy is your life? And why do we sometimes find it so hard to slow down? What I want to do is just for about 5 minutes or so, is I'm going to give you some cards, and I'd like you just to turn and have a bit of discussion about the busyness of your life. Because in the scriptures, there are a lot of really key rhythms around the idea of slowing down and taking notice and living in the moment. Because we live in a world, don't we, where we're always looking for the next thing. We're looking for the next experience, looking to get the next item of clothing, or the next thing that's on our agenda. How many of you just look down at your phone and you think, what else have I got on all this week, and do that? You know, probably Steve's all the time thinking about the next lesson and the next set of exams, and probably doctors and things. You're thinking, you know, all the time. All of you are in different jobs where you're constantly thinking, or you're in, even retired. John, you said you're still busy. You know, he's dancing. Mel says, not busy enough. He already slows down and lives in the moment. But I want to just have a little bit of a discussion, and then we're going to do some thinking around this biblical rhythm of slowing down and living in the moment. So maybe get into a couple of groups. Well, you can stay where you are if you like. What you're going to do is, you know how these things work. Don't look at the questions. You know this. You take a question and just pick one. At random. That's a bit more fun. Only for about 10 minutes, but I just want you to have a discussion around, yeah, your life and how busyness is. If I can pick them up. Can I give you a set?
You can, thank you.
I wonder, when you think about the volume of what we say, what we see, what we hear in a day, just how much we notice. I'm sure we've all had this experience. You ever have that experience when you've driven somewhere and you can't remember the bit that you've just driven? Do you know what I mean? That, because literally we move into this constant act of not noticing. There's an interesting phrase, isn't there? We've all heard carpe diem. It's the motto for John Curl High School, where my daughters go. Seize the day. And a lot of the time, if you look at the meaning behind it, it can feel about, you've got to get as much into your day as possible. Just experience as much as you can. But actually, the real understanding of the term is to get the most out of your day, rather than to put as much as you can into your day. Does that make sense? And I've often looked at it the other way. I've always thought, do as much as I can of every day and make the most of it. But actually, sometimes it's about making less of our days, which enables us to make more. A couple of quotes for you. And then this is Leo Tolstoy says, remember that there is only one time that is important, and it's the now. I think it's a really interesting word. It is the most important time because it's the only time that we have any power. If you think about it, we don't have any power over our past, and we have no power over our future in one way. We do if we choose to accept Christ, but that's the tiny little bit. The rest we have to leave in his hands. T. Bennett says, if you want to be happy, do not dwell in the past, do not worry about the future, focus on living fully in the present. How many of us dwell on the past? those moments, those things we've got wrong, those failures, that conversation we had, that, oh, I didn't do that very well. You know, when you do my sort of role, you know, those times when, any of you ever preached, and you've sat there and thought afterwards, why did I say that? What did I do that? The enemy comes in, you know. You can't dwell on the past, but we do. And that it's a thief, really, isn't it, of our time. The ability to be in the present moment is a major component of our mental wellness. And, of course, Abraham Maslow was a famous theorist. And you can lie in bed. This is Fru Bird. She's a youth worker in Bournemouth. She sent this to me. You can lie in bed at night and relive your regrets and worries, or you can think about the things that have happened that day and relive it. So that makes sense, does it? But it's this idea of you can spend, that's what you could spend your day doing. So you can lie in bed and you can just relive everything that's gone wrong, or you can think slightly differently. There are biblical ancient paths, though, about this idea of living in the moment. God saw all he had made, and on the seventh day he rested. At the end of each day he looked back and he said, that is good. There's like, when you read the text, there is like this poetic pause, isn't there? And then there was that day, and the next day, and then let's just chill. Father, Son and Holy Spirit are like, let's just go and spend some time in that amazing garden we've made. Yeah, taking the moment. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Maybe there's something, the knowing of God is often found in stillness, because we can rest our minds enough to hear him. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. The restoration comes from the stillness, you know, that moment of still waters. Do not worry. Look at the birds, the flowers, the grass. That text in Matthew chapter 6. He talks about, do not worry. He says, look at the birds, look what they're doing, look at the grass. But I think it's a beautiful biblical moment of savouring. Take a deep breath and just look around you. See what I've got under control already. Don't worry. And then Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Stillness. Jesus said, come and have breakfast. That beautiful moment after all the frantic chaos of the crucifixion. And there they've had that frantic night of fishing. You know, that it's been chaos. And he calls them and says, let's have some brunch. It's a lovely thing. Let's just sit on the beach. Let the warm sun, the Mediterranean. Are they in the Mediterranean? No, they're not. Are they sort of ish? The blue sea. Do you know what I mean? Not like Barry. I went swimming in Barry last summer. I couldn't see my hands in front of me. Do you know what I mean? Because of the silt and other items, other Welsh items. But this beautiful moment, let's just relax for a moment. And Jesus did a lot of that, a lot of relaxing. The very act of communion is a moment to be still, to remember, to reflect. So it's a very simple ancient path, really. But how good are we at it? There's a picture on the screen. I think if it's... there we go. So this is... if you notice, this is a picture of everybody with their phones and they're all looking ahead. But there's a lovely lady in the middle with a straw hat on. And she's just taking in the moment. She's the... forget the phone. Forget trying to get the best picture. And there's another one. If you ever find it online, it's from the Black Mass premiere. It's a very well-famous picture of all these people taking all their photographs. And there's a lovely little old lady, no phone, just looking at the bench, taking in the moment. You saw it at the royal weddings, all these sorts of, just everybody's like this. But actually, they think they're capturing a moment. They're not. They're not living in the moment at all. Because to live in the moment, you've got to put all your attention into that thing. So we're going to have a be still and savouring moment that's going to involve chocolate. And all God's people said?
Amen.
And those of you who can't have chocolate went, ah. So you can have a grape. Well, in the Old Testament, the land of milk and honey, it was grapes. That was the thing. But do you ever have that moment when you think chocolate or fruit?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, no fruit. No fruit. I have a fruit bowl in my house and it has leaflets and things in it. That's what it should have. Fruit is demonic. So, right. So if you want fruit because you can't have chocolate, we're going to just pass these around. What I want you to do is to have, don't open it. Just, you know what I mean. So do you want to help me, Lou? Give some of these out. I'll give some out. Well, you take them round.
Yeah, I'll take them round.
Does anybody want grape?
Yeah,
you can have a grape as well if you want. No, take one chocolate and don't open it. Just. I'm going to have a grape later.
We'll leave them out, shall we?
Very nice.
They're quite nice later.
Oh, they are good. Very good. Yeah. Do you want to have a grape as well? Would you like to take a grape as well? Do you want to pass those grapes? No, you want to pass them round. Do you want to take a grape as well? There we go. Pass the rounds. It's nice to say, if you lie on the back, we'll just drop them in. Don't eat your grape. Oh. Have you not got the... It's the theme is slow down. Don't eat it. Don't peel it. Don't eat it. Don't. Have you ever done those activities... You watch those activities on YouTube where the parent leaves a little toddler with some Haribos on a plate and then says, "Now I'm going out. Don't touch them." It's brilliant, isn't it? And they've done it with dogs as well. And nobody can do it. They're like... So years ago I was at a conference with an Australian evangelist called Fuzz Keto, and he did this little exercise with Maltesers. So what we're going to do in just a moment, has everybody got their chocolate?
No,
you didn't get one, Lou?
Not yet.
Although looking at the sample, some of these might be easier to do what we're going to do. But what I want us to do is, in a minute, we're going to close our eyes, and I want you to go through a savouring activity with me, where we're just going to be still, and I want you to do that. So close your eyes, and I'll instruct you. That's what to do. Or has John disappeared? Has a rapture taken place, and we missed it? So, right, what I want you to do is to close your eyes, and I want you to hold your chocolate in your hands. And I want you to feel it in the wrapper. And very slowly, I'd like you to unwrap your chocolate. If you can. Oh, that sound. And if you want to, I want you to just smell it. Oh, take it and smell it. Take deep breath. And then I just want you to pop it in your mouth, but I don't want you to chew it. I want you to, if you can, just to slowly suck on it and... Very slowly. And just be still. And as you are, there's a beautiful text in the scripture that says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And maybe in this moment, why don't you just recall to your mind the goodness of God? Good things he's done for you. His faithfulness, forgiveness, his love. And so it's important that we learn to slow down, and it is a biblical rhythm. So here's a question for you, it's rhetorical.
How much do you then need to slow down? How much do you actually really slow down? Psychologists tell us that there are benefits to savoring and living in the moment. One is that it allows us to put positive experiences into our memory bank. If we're rushing around all the time and not noticing, and we won't see the experiences, we'll pick them up. And but also, savoring, it can prolong experiences, so it allows us to spend more time in it. And that can be literally just sitting in a garden, or it's not just what you see. So have you people probably done this stuff where you sit down somewhere and you take a deep breath in?
Louise did it for us last night. You take a deep breath in and you take a few deep breaths out and breathe in deeply. What can you smell in a moment? What can you, if you can see, what can you see? What can you hear? What can you taste? These are really important things to do, and I think they're biblical, because God wants us to take notice. And it's in that stillness we become in tune with ourselves, we become in tune with God, but also we can use it to recall good experiences. The more we slow down, the more we notice, the more positive we feel about life. Secondly, it helps us to focus on one thing at a time. And that isn't always easy, is it? We live very, very busy, manic lives. But it allows us to reduce stress by taking this moment. It's about creating this rhythm, if you can, almost every day in your life, having a moment. I virtually force myself sometimes, even on a day like today, to go out for a walk every day. Just to be in space. It's really important. And also savoring helps us to get off that treadmill we talked about yesterday, that hedonic treadmill, that constant pursuit. And according to research, people who are constantly saver tend to be more optimistic, less depressed, and more satisfied with life. The very simple act of slowing down is good for you. Let's listen to what some experts say about it.
Savoring is such an important skill in 21st century life because it's busy, there's so much going on, we're moving from one thing to the next. And so much of what our attention is focused on is just about responding to whatever the biggest demand is. And the risk, therefore, is that we'll miss things going on around us that are really, really good. When you're busy, you don't live in the moment. You're so focused on all the things you've got to achieve and all the things demanding your attention that maybe you miss some things that are actually really good.
That whole slowing down makes you more self-aware. I'm passionate about being self-aware. The more we understand ourselves, notice what's going on in our body and in our minds, the more true we can be in relationships, in our workplace, college, because we know more about who we are.
It's important to slow down and just take in the moment, because moments go, they go very quickly. Time moves fast, and it feels like we have all the time in, you know, when we're younger, but actually these moments don't last. Things change, things are for a season, and in order to really get the most out of a season, you need to have a moment where you just stand still and allow yourself to see, to feel, to breathe, to be. Rather than living 10 steps ahead, you want to live right now and appreciate the beauty of now.
With these sirens, with these voices that are out there, they draw us away. They draw our attention away from the things that matter. With silence, you know, you're reminded of the things that matter. It's like a weird kind of magnetism that silence creates. It brings it all back into focus for you. Quick story, I spent some time in the Abbey today during my lunch break because I'm just hearing so much at work, so many things coming at me. And so to sit for a moment in this huge church, right, in the silence, was amazing because it allowed for clarity, it allowed for things to just stop for a minute. And I think we live in a world that moves fast, so to have something to slow down and stop is really good. Red lights are the same when you're in the car and the red light comes. It's a moment to stop, isn't it? And not get angry that it's not green.
I love Rob, he's great. It's true, isn't it? How many of us get angry at a red light? But actually, just to stop and slow down. I'm going to finish with one picture. There's a great story about the Desert Fathers, and many of you might be familiar with the Desert Father idea. But there's a story of a young monk, and he is sent out to spend 3 days out in the desert. And so off he goes, and he comes back and speaks to the senior, whatever they are, senior desert father. And the desert father says, "How did you get on?" And he said, "Oh, it was great, great time with God. And, you know, it was just an amazing experience." And this old desert father said, "That's odd," he said, "because the first time I went in the desert to be still, my brain was full. I had temptations and lusts and memories and thinking about what I'm going to do when I get back." And then this young lad said, "Yeah, that was me too. what it demonstrated is that the practice of savoring takes time. And what you will probably find when you're still for the first time, your brain will fill really quickly about what you've got to do tomorrow. But the more you do it, you do begin to empty your mind. And I don't mean that in a sort of Buddhist type way. I mean, you allow the processes to work their way through. And eventually, savoring and stillness becomes really easy. So as I said, I practice it every day. And the moment I'm out and I'm walking, I am not thinking about anything. Because my brain has learned to say, that's it, I can switch that off and I can just spend time with God. And sometimes I talk to him and sometimes I don't. But, you know, it's a really important thing to do. So the challenge for the week is try and take 10 minutes every day of your life to just be still. Use your senses and see what you can see, what you can smell and what you can notice. And in that, start to be still and know that he's God. Start to listen for his voice and use that moment to recall good things. That's the difference between savoring and mindfulness. Probably heard of mindfulness. Savoring doesn't tend to dwell on where things that have gone wrong or where you're at. It's just a simple, I'm in this moment, thank you for it. I hear some of you talking about, was it you, camel ride, and remembering your son's face. I can remember Grace's face coming down a log flume when she was 5. You know, the absolute, just take moments to recall. I think it's a biblical rhythm. And remember, even in the festivals, God is saying, take a moment to recall. At communion, we recall Christ. When Christ did it, they recalled the Passover. You know, the festivals, we're recalling the goodness of God. Take that moment in the act of savoring.